There you go.
Good evening.
Look at all these kids.
Kids, good evening. All right. All right. I hope you're ready to have some fun tonight. We need to cover a couple of rules. One of them is that you participate. Now, we have to understand what a kid is. Everyone in this room, when there's a dog in the house, is a kid. Okay? And I know that the Wednesday night group is usually, shall we say, prone to being rowdy. We want that brought out tonight. You're going to participate, and we can break it down if you want into the younger kids, the older kids, and for those that don't want to belong to either group, the middle kids, okay? But we're all going to be kids. You'll have opportunity to raise hands. In fact, let me see right now from any of the kids here, who loves dogs? All right. Who practices Bible memorization? Okay, you're going to get a chance to practice some of that tonight. You'll have an opportunity to quote along with me some Bible verses. And I know that there are a lot of different translations of Bible verses. That doesn't matter. God can figure it out. All of it out. So if we start quoting a Bible verse, and I want you to join in, if what you're saying is different than what I'm saying, still go ahead and say it, okay? So that is the big rule, is everybody here is a kid, and everybody's going to participate, all right? Another rule, especially for the kids down here, is once the dog comes out, don't come jumping up on the stage. Or any of the kids back here. You've got to kind of stay put, okay? When he comes out, if you want to go like that and take pictures, you may. Let's try and have no flash. But whatever you want to do along those lines is fine. Now, I would like to thank very much Pastor Jack for actually what he's doing tonight is he is allowing a dog to take his place at the podium. So not a whole lot of pastors are going to do that, but I want to thank Pastor Jack for doing that. Our story, do you want to hear a good dog story? Good. Especially as crazy as things have been lately this year, the last several months, I think the thing to bring our feet back to the ground is a great dog story with the gospel attached to it. Our story begins in the capital city of Armenia, which is all the way on the other side of the world, the city of Yerevan. And any Bible geography students out here, I wonder if you know what that big mountain on the right is in the background of Yerevan. Raise a hand if you know what it is. Someone yell it out. Okay. That's Mount Ararat. That's where Noah landed with his ark, somewhere up on that mountain. Okay? That's where the story starts. And it's about a breed of dog called an Armenian Gomper. Now, that sounds like a funny name for a breed, but that's an Armenian word for protector or watchdog. What, say it out loud, what is that dog guarding?
Sheep.
The Armenian Gomper is considered the original dog. The shepherds that guarded the flocks by night would have had Gompers watching. They've never been made into pets. They are very, very, shall we say, savage dogs. Now, say it out loud and just say it one time and then stop. But what do you think the Gomper is protecting the sheep from? Wolves, okay? He spends his life taking out wolves. An interesting thing about the Armenian Gomper, it's a little hard to see in this picture, but you'll see it in the Gomper that comes out in a few minutes, is that they don't have any ears. When they are young puppies, their ears are cut right off of their head.
What?
Ooh, why? Because they spend their lives protecting the sheep against wolves. And they get in fights with wolves all the time, and their ears get chewed up if they don't have their ears removed. So the shepherds learned thousands of years ago, take the ears off. They don't crop them, they cut them all the way off. The gomper you will see has no ears. You can look for that when he comes out. The typical gomper, now forgive the quality of some of these slides, especially if you're in the back and they're not as big, because many of them were taken in Armenia and the quality of the slide is a little bit beyond what I could do. But the gomper ranges anywhere up to 200 pounds. The average German Shepherd male is 85 pounds. So two of them would barely make up a gomper. They are very big. Not only are they very big, but they are very savage. You don't want to try to steal sheep from a herd guarded by gompers. Additionally, they have a very heavy coat to protect them from the snow. We're getting more and more kids down here. This is great. This is not the story of a breed, though. This is the story of one Armenian gomper. His name is Tigran. If you say it correctly, Tigran. Okay. He was born in Armenia about 8 months ago, or 8 years ago, on the outskirts of Yerevan, in what's called the Armenian Highlands, right at the beginning of winter. But he wasn't big, and he did not have a heavy coat. That is Dikran. He could barely walk, and the people that bred him figured, this dog is no good to us. So you know what they did with him? In the middle of winter, they threw him out. They just got rid of him. He was no good to them. He was put out in the middle of the highlands, basically, to either have the wolves get him, or the cold, or hunger. Okay, you can see he looks pretty hungry in that picture, doesn't he? And you can see he can't walk very well. You can see that he's very thirsty too. His tongue was hanging out all the time when he got rescued. And all he wanted was someone to love him. Now listen up. This is your first test of the evening. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He did not have a home. Please raise your hand if you know what book of the Bible that verse comes out of. What book? Say Matthew. Matthew 25:35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. He was taken in by a woman that rescued him. Her name was Avsana, and this is Dikran after he was rescued. She took him to the doctor to see if they could fix his legs, because he couldn't really walk on his legs. He could stand there and kind of slope down, but then he would end up falling. They tried to wrap his legs. It didn't work. He still could barely walk. He was still very hungry. What is he in right there?
A cage.
So what happened was they couldn't fix him. They didn't know what to do with him. They were going to end his life. But some Armenians in Southern California found out what was going on, raised money, got a plane to fly in there, picked him up, and flew him to America. He ended up at our facility. And we ended up adopting him, and he is the dog you're going to see. Okay, y'all are going to have to hold still there. You'll get to see him. Herding kittens, right? Herding kittens. Okay, now, everyone listen up, kids, especially young kids. When he comes out, you are not to try and come up here. You are not to. You're not to try and call them to you, okay? You have to just watch. Remember, this breed has never been made into a pet. I don't want him to look at you and think you're a wolf, because we know what gompers do with wolves. Let's read that out loud. What does it say? Living the Christian life like a dog. Okay, listen up, please, very carefully. I'm going to bring Dikron out in just a minute. He is going to show us something. He's going to show us how you should live every day in your Christian walk. Older kids, you too. This is for all of us. How's a dog going to show that? You'll see. Okay? When he comes out, I would like you to realize that Dikran has never been medically treated for his legs. You saw them. He could barely walk. He's never been medically treated. And I want you to pay attention to something. I want you to pay attention in the back of your heads for the whole presentation we do, how I interact with Dikron. Because we're going to talk about this a little bit later. Okay? So he's going to come out. We're going to cover some Bible verses. Now, any note takers out here, understand please, there is a handout that will be on the Calvary Chapel website that you will be able to go to that has every Bible verse we are going to cover on it. And with it, it has a key word. I'm going to give you one right now. For the verse we just did out of Matthew, the key word is help. Because someone helped him. So, do I have it from all of you that you're going to hold still there? Yes! And you're not going to make, you're only going to make noise when I ask. When we do a Bible verse, or I ask for an answer to a question. Other than that, what are you going to say? Nothing. You want me to bring them, right?
Yeah. What do you want? Well, did you get that? Good boy. Oh, did you get that? Good. Oh, good boy. Oh, good boy. Good.
Now, we are probably going to challenge the camera people with the movement that Deke's going to be doing. But if you get a look at him right now, you can see there are no ears there. Okay? You can also see that he likes to pretend that I'm holding on to the leg of a wolf. So, how do we start living our Christian day? Every day. Deke, out. Out. Good boy. Sit. Pretty. Psalm 63, verse 4 says, I will lift my hands unto the Lord. Stay there. Every day, yes. Every day before you get out of bed, every day before you get out of bed, lift your hands up to the Lord. Yes. Remember, I told you, pay attention to how I talk to him. Because again, there are going to be questions in my arms.
Oh, good boy. What? What?
Okay, we're up. We've started our day in the Christian walk. The first thing we're going to talk about actually is a don't. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 13, it says, for the Lord's, now I'm going to, this is a question. The Lord's anger burned against them, and he caused them to wander in the wilderness for how many years? Say it out loud. 40 years. How many of us older Christians would sadly say that we maybe spent close to that much time wandering? This is what wandering in the wilderness looks like. Out. Right. 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 Yes. How's that for the first 10 years? Out. Feet. Deep. Deep. Come on. Feet. Place. Feet. Place. How's this for the next 10 years? Feet. Place. Deep. Feet. Pivot. How's this for the next 10 years? Pivot. Deep.
Good boy.
Pivot. 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 Back. Deep. Pivot.
Good.
How's this for the last 10 years? Pivot.
Good.
Pivot. Back. Yes.
Good.
Don't spend your life working so hard to go in circles. So the first thing we have to do, if we're not going to spend all of our time going in circles, out, down, can be found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Have you ever had somebody stare at you for so long that you start to get uncomfortable with it? Listen, Jesus will never get tired or uncomfortable with you staring at him. Do you see the way he is staring at me? This is how your day should start. Once you're up, is fix your eyes on Jesus. Yes.
Good boy. Good.
Once you are doing that, once you can learn to pay attention to Jesus, you are going to end up turning to one of the most popular verses in the Bible. And you are all going to help me with this. It's in Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to start saying the verse. And I want everybody here, young and old, when I start quoting this verse, I want you to join in regardless of the translation you have. Okay, everyone's quiet. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Trusting in the Lord.
Oh, you little boy.
We can all like that verse, trust in the Lord, that part. How about lean not on your own understanding? Out. Back. Down. Remember the first verse, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Where are his eyes? Back. Down. Lean not on your own understanding and submit to him in all of your ways. Back. Back. Down. His eyes are on me the entire time. Your eyes need to stay on Jesus, and you need to trust where he has taken you. How many of us older kids can say that the path that Jesus has taken us on in our walk is not the one that we had planned originally? He doesn't know where he's going when I'm doing this. Back. Turn. Down. What about when life gets hard? Can you still keep your eyes on Jesus? Back. Walk like a man. Straight back. Around, around, straight back, good boy, straight back, yes,
good boy, good, 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 good.
So keep your eyes on Jesus, focus on Jesus, and do you know what's going to happen? In every church with every follower of Jesus, at some point in time, something's going to happen that the Apostle Paul talked to the Ephesian elders about in Acts chapter 20. He said, beware lest savage wolves come in among you and not spare the flock. Do we really know what that means? Savage wolf. A savage wolf is going to come into the flock. We tend to think of a savage wolf.
Out.
Yes. We tend to think of that as a savage wolf. But what does a savage wolf really look like? Let's go to the next slide. One more. That is a savage wolf. Okay, listen to me carefully. All kids, everyone, listen up. A savage wolf looks just like everybody else. And you know what the savage wolf tells you? Listen carefully. Some of us adults get taken in by this sometimes. A savage wolf tells you, yeah, church is okay, but I got a better game in town. Oh, Jesus was a good enough guy, but he's not God. A savage wolf tries to pull you away from Jesus Christ. Don't pay attention to a savage wolf. And do you know the best remedy for dealing with a savage wolf? Is to study your Bible, is to know your Bible. And we spend our entire lives doing this. So when you are doing all of this, when you're studying your Bible and you're focusing on Jesus and you're just trusting in Him, you are going to run the race. You are going to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And run the race. Run with perseverance, the race marked out for you. Good boy, Deke. And when you are running the race, good boy, when you are running the race, you're going to find that it's easier to stay close to Jesus. Now, listen up. In about 10 minutes, we're going to talk very, very specifically about what exactly running the race means. And this will apply to the youngest kid here and the oldest kid here, is running the race for Jesus. What I would like to do now is to show you what might happen when you get a little bit tired in your running of the race. We are going to turn then to the book of Isaiah and look at how we are supposed to deal with when we are tired and weary of running the race. Down. I see we have a little bit of a disturbance over here. We have someone that's looks like he's charging the stage. Pastor Shadrach, why don't you hold on right there for a minute? Isn't that funny? He volunteered for something and he doesn't have any idea what it is he volunteered for. You're brave. We're going to talk about soaring like an eagle. Okay? Now, Pastor Shadrach, understand that the Armenian Gomper is very keyed into movement, so nothing sudden. But why don't you come over here? And we know how hard you work. So why don't you put your head right there and lay down and take a nap? Now listen up, everybody. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, Isaiah talks about when we get tired and we get weary, we can mount up because He will give us strength and we will soar on wings like eagles. Out, down, stay. Although I think right now Pastor Shadrach is not thinking about soaring like an eagle. I think he's thinking about trust in the Lord with all your heart. Deke, come on. Deke, come on. Deke, down. You have to keep your eyes open, but you cannot move. So they will mount up and soar on wings like eagles. Deke, soar. Good boy. Deke, soar. Good. Yes. Down. Deuce. You're so good. Thank you, Pastor Shadrach, for helping us with that. Okay, now listen up. When you do all of this, when you're running the Christian life, when you're working for Jesus, sometimes you get honestly tired. But in Matthew chapter 11, out, down. Take a nap. Stay. Verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." And you can rest in the Lord. Okay? Yes. Down. All right. Pay attention, everybody, please. We're going to change gears a little bit here. And before we do this, we are going to do a little thing here with everybody in the sanctuary. Listen up carefully. Let's have the talking stop. Let's have the talking stop. Don't do it yet, but everybody in here, no exceptions, when I tell you to, silently, without saying a word, you're going to look around and find a pair of eyes that you've never seen before and look at that person for 2 seconds. Don't say hi, none of that. Everybody does this. Do it right now. Look at somebody for just a couple of seconds and then look back up here. Okay, please listen up. Please listen up. Let's go to the next slide. I don't want you to read this out loud. I will. And I don't want you to raise your hands. But how many of you, if you were honest, would raise your hands? I don't pick up my Bible. I don't have a Christian witness at all. I don't even have a Bible. I don't trust anyone. I don't soar like an eagle. And all I do is wander. In a gathering of this size, I know that there are some of those. I know that some of you just looked at that person. Okay? Let's go to the next slide. Now, listen. Don't raise your hand unless you want to. But how many of you right now in this room, starting from here, going all the way to the back, how many of you in this room are that picture in your life right now? Okay? This is serious time. I know we're kids, but listen, we have a rough life. We have things going on. And how many of us are right there? What we're going to do in just a minute, not yet, we're going to dim the lights a little bit, and we're going to look at a video. And I want you, it's a short video. It's only 10 seconds long, so don't miss it. But I want you to look at the video, and then after the video, there will be another slide that will come up, and then I'm going to ask a couple of questions. So let's take the lights down just a little bit and look at the video. Let's go to the next. Okay, listen up. I want everyone inside, don't say it out loud, inside of you to think of one or maybe two or three words at the most that describes what you just saw on the video or you see in that picture. Just think of a word. Just think of a word. And on the count of three, we're all going to say it together. Everyone in here, say that one, two, or three words out loud. One, two, three, say it. Okay, listen up, please. Broken. Painful. Alone. Scared. Sad. Did you just look into someone's eyes who is there? We're a church family, but we're so big we don't know everybody. Did someone just look into your eyes and you were that person that's like that? But you're not letting anyone know. We're going to play another video. It's got some of the same footage on it, but a little bit more. And what I want you to do, everyone in here, what I want you to do is to watch the video and look for something you did not see in the first one. It's not something you'll see played out. It's symbolic. It's something you might hear or something that might transcend just a dog and a lady. So let's dim the lights and look at the next video. Listen carefully.
Ari. Ari. Ari, sunt.
Okay. Did you hear her say, Adi? Adi? That's Armenian. Come, come here. Come here. Did he go to her? No. I stand at the door and knock. Come here. He is a broken dog in that picture. He would not go to her. Okay? How many of us in our lives, or maybe right now, feel broken like that, but we won't go to Jesus? Okay? Adi, come here. Jesus is always doing that. Come here. Come to me. I stand at the door and knock. Okay? Let's go to the next. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. It says, are not five Armenian gompers sold for 2 pennies? That's my translation. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And then listen, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. God loves the animals. He knows the animals. And then follows one of the most interesting statements in the Bible. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, I'll tell you, God does not need to count that high to count my hair. But I look at some of you, and you've got a lot of hair on your head. And for every person in here, and every person watching, and every person out there, God knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. He knows exactly what's in your heart, what's in your head, and everything about you. And God made you for a reason. Everyone here, I could point to every single one of you, and God made you for a reason. Let's read that out loud right now. God made me for a reason. Now, the pictures of Dikran when he was all broken and couldn't walk, would you look at that picture or that video and think that God made that dog for a reason? It's like that poor runt. He's not good for anything. That's what they thought. But look where he is now. And God loves you so much more. Okay? Everyone in here. But something got in the way of God's relationship that he wants to have with you. And it's in the next picture. That's the same dog in both pictures. Do you see the line that's in the middle between the two pictures? That line is called sin. And I'm going to keep it really simple here. Sin is not living for Jesus. If you're running, doing your own thing, you're not, I don't need God, I don't need Jesus, you are living in sin. Now, everyone in this room, everyone watching, you are either the one on the left or the one on the right. You're one of the two. Every one of us was on the left. And it doesn't have to be on the outside. That can be what we were like on the inside. That's called sin. Sin is what has separated us from Jesus. And what we have to do to get from the dog on the left to the dog on the right is we have to acknowledge that we are sinners and ask Jesus to come into our lives and cleanse us. Let's go to the next. The words are on the bottom of the picture or on the wall behind me. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's read it out loud. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, now listen up. There's only one way to get there. Only one way. And normally, I might ask, at this point in time, everyone in here, I might ask you, would you like to make a decision in your heart to be a follower of Jesus Christ? young and old, every kid in here. But when I was a little bit older than most of these kids in the front, I heard the gospel story. And I said, I sign up. Yeah, I want to have Jesus in my life. Because when I do, my life will be perfect. I'll have Jesus. Is that true? No. What signing up for Jesus is living a life for Christ, and he takes what happens in your life, including the last 8 or 9 months. He takes whatever is happening in your life, and he uses your life to create in you what ultimately will be perfection in Jesus Christ. And what I would like to do with Decrun right now is I would like to actually give you a picture of what the Christian life looks like. And I'm going to use a verse to kind of explain it. And I'm going to say the verse, and you're going to follow with me and say it as well. It's Philippians 4:13. It's a short verse, but I think most of us probably know it. And if your translation is different, that's fine. Let's say it together, okay? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That doesn't mean I can flap my arms and fly over the building. What it means is that if I'm living a life for Jesus Christ, he will give me the strength I need to get through anything. And look what we've had going on here. He has gutted this toy. He must think it's part of a wolf. What? What? So remember, thing number one, right. Don't wander, right. Right. Good boy. Yes. You fight the good fight. Out. Back. You focus on Jesus. In fact, Psalm 91 says you will find refuge under his wing. Down. Stay. You will have troubles and hurdles and things you need to go over in life. Deep. Over. 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 Walk. Back. Side. If you fall down in life, down. Side. Yes. Get back up and stay after the fight. Out. Down. Stay. Deep. Up. Good. And sometimes walk. Walk. Sometimes it's hard to walk the Christian life because there's so much going on. Think about where you're putting your feet in your life. Sit. And don't forget, pretty, to raise your hands unto the Lord even when things are hard. Yes. Walk. Good. Walk. Walk. You're so good. Into my arms. Good boy. Oh, what a good boy. Oh, you get that. You get that. You get that. So remain focused on Jesus your whole life. Out, back. Down. And then you can turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Forgetting what is behind you, looking ahead, you press on towards the goal. Deep. Good boy. Under. Yes. And win the prize. Deep. You win the prize. Oh, good boy. You. Deep. Up. And you leap into the arms of Jesus. Good boy. Good. Come here. Good. Now, everybody listen up, please. That is what the Christian life is. Hurdles to jump over, walking carefully in your life, going after the prize, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, you, good boy. And I want you to know something. Do you hear Dink? Everyone go quiet. He doesn't want to give that up. You know what that makes me think about? John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, my sheep follow me. I know my sheep. I give them eternal life. And no one will snatch them out of his hand.
What?
When you are a follower of Jesus Christ, nobody can take you away from him. All right, now before the next slide comes up, down. Raise your hand if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, hands down. There is a way that you should feel in your heart when you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And the next slide, before we put it up, the next slide, if you're not a follower of Christ, if you're watching and you're not, or you're here and you're not, you're going to think it's a neat picture. But if you're a follower of Christ, it should evoke a feeling in you that says, that's how I feel with my Lord and Savior. Let's look at the next slide. That is how our relationship is with Jesus. He has his arm around you, and he says, look at what I have for you. Okay, now listen up, please. If this were Jesus and you now, see, to me, this is more Jesus and you or me in heaven. If it were Jesus and you now, there'd be one slight difference in the picture, and that is Jesus would have his head turned towards you, and he would say, you need to do two things. Now, please listen. Everyone listen. Because this next slide, before it comes up, it's only six words. And it is completely and entirely what the job is of a follower of Jesus Christ. Completely. Let's look at it. Let's read the first line only out loud. Live your faith. What does that mean? That's what we were just talking about. Raise your hands to Jesus. Focus your eyes on him. Trust in the Lord. Okay? Run the race. Beware of savage wolves. Soar like an eagle and rest in him. That is what your life living is supposed to be. The handout that is on the website. Every verse we did is on it, and it has a word that will help you. Kids, download that. Get a hold of that handout and quiz your parents on it. Hey, Mom, do you remember when he talked about trust? Which verse was it? What trick did Deke do when he did trust? And the same thing for other verses. Parents, quiz your kids on it. Now, the second one. Let's read that second one out loud. Share your faith. Okay. How many of us, you don't need to raise your hands. Probably most of us wouldn't. But how many of us think, hey, you guys, let's hold it down. How many of us think that it's Pastor Jack's job or Pastor Shadrach's job to go out there and share the Christian faith to everybody? How many of us think that it's our job to do that? Did you know that that's our job? The pastor's job is to equip us for that. It's our job to go out and share our faith. And listen, every person in here that claims to be a follower of Jesus, I have just given you a great lead-in, whether it's at work or at play, at a party, at the park, I've given you a great lead-in to share your faith with someone. So tomorrow, Billy Bob comes up to you and says, oh, did you waste your time in church last night again? Did you go to church? And you go, yeah, I went to church. And guess what? A dog gave the message. A dog. And they're going to go, a dog? Yeah. Pull out the handout. It's got two pictures on it, a before and an after picture. Pull out the handout and say, yeah, look. Look at this dog. Never had surgery. The toy is about to die. Look at the picture. He's never had surgery. There's a great lead-in. Okay, now listen up. I want everyone to grasp this. Remember the beginning I told you to listen the way I interact with Deke? Did you hear me talking to him a lot? Yeah. Did you know that Jesus talks to you? Raise your hand if you think you're just a natural at going out there and sharing your faith with someone. Just if you think it's easy, I just walk out and, hey man, let me witness Jesus Christ to you. If you think it's easy. Raise your hand if you think it's hard. It is. You know what? It's hard for me to... 2 days ago, I was at home going, what if I forget everything? What if Deke doesn't do anything? What if they laugh at me when I'm not telling a joke? Okay? Deke is not a natural. I didn't pick a dog that does all these tricks naturally. He doesn't do any of this naturally. He's one of the hardest dogs I ever trained. But you wouldn't know that watching him perform. I'm talking to him all the time. If you talk to someone about Jesus and you ask, Holy Spirit, please lead me and guide me through this, I don't know what to say. He'll help you. He'll talk to you. Your job is to share your faith. But you cannot share it. Listen up. You cannot effectively share your faith if you're not living your faith. Because people are going to watch you. They're going to watch you and see, okay, you say you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, but let me see how you live your life. All of us should be doing that. That's one of our best witnesses we have. Okay? So, next slide. This is one of the harder slides for me to look at. There's something very much deeper in this picture than just a dog. Okay. Deke, come on. Good boy. Look at his head in the picture. Proud, defiant. Actually, that head is giving the attitude he needed to live because he was starving out on the highlands, probably eating dirt and grass to stay alive. That's a great attitude for a dog that is starving to death, fighting to survive. That is a not good attitude for someone who does not know Jesus. I don't need Jesus. I'm starving on the inside. I'm spiritually dead, but I don't need him. Head held high. I can live without him. No, you can't. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And I want you to start thinking, every kid in here, start thinking about whether or not you need to ask Jesus to come into your life. Or maybe you already are a Christian, but you need him to come back into your life because you've forgotten about him. Or you are a Christian, but you have not really given it all to him. You haven't given him all of the difficulty, the pain, the hurt in your life. We're going to pray in a minute, and it's just going to be a short prayer, but that will be your opportunity to say something to the Lord about, yes, I want to. And then after this presentation, Deke Run and I will be out in the foyer, and if you want to stop by and take a picture of him or say hi or say, hey, Dave, I accepted Jesus, or talk to one of the pastors, you may. But first, I want to answer a question that some people have, and that is, why would God, the God of this universe, come down and care about me, a rotten sinner? And that's in the next verse that's up here. And let's read this out loud. We all know it. For God so loved the world, gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is why, because he loves you. So, Out. Come on. Up. Take a bow. Deke would like to say thank you for coming here to watch him. And we are going to close in a short prayer. And during this prayer, you don't, if you want, you can raise your hand up or you can just do it in your heart. But if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you want to come back to him, or if you want to give him everything, this will be your chance. So, sit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, only you can take a starved, broken, abandoned runt from the other side of this world and use him to bring glory to you. And Lord, only you can take starved, broken, hungry, scared, alone people and bring them new life and use them to further your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that anyone here that wants to give it to you, that they would say yes to you right now inside of their hearts. And Lord, that you would put a fire in them to not only want to live their faith, but to get out there and share their faith. If he can do it in Deke Run, he can do it in you. And Lord, we're so thankful for this opportunity that we've had to be together. And we want to thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you.
So you guys, I want you to know that out in the foyer, they're going to be out there, and I hope I have this right. Do you know how many copies you have that are like this?
I have 150 that are signed.
Okay, you guys. You guys need to know that the book is available out there in the foyer, and look who signed it. Can you see? Dekron signed it. They have 150 of these only, but you can get your own copy. We've been reading it at home. And we encourage you to do the same thing. And I want all of you kids who prayed that prayer to make sure that on Sunday morning, you let your Sunday school teacher know that you've prayed that prayer. We'll make sure you get your own Bible. Church, let's stand together as Gia leads us in this closing song. And then afterwards, now, Dave, will the dog be out there as well? Okay.
They're going to come and
no, I mean, I say that cautiously because I want to make sure that the kids are gentle.
We have it all set up.
Okay, good.
We're good.
Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this story of a dog's life being a testimony. That's the first time personally I've ever seen such a thing. And yet, Lord, the reality, the power of that video communicated to me that Dekron was able to move fine away from that invitation to come. And I'm certain that Dekron did not even think for a moment, I'm not crippled. I'm just getting away from this person. I'm not handicapped. I'm not wounded. I'm just going to get away. I'm wondering, Lord, if in this dog's life, without looking in a mirror or even looking in a mirror, did this dog, in a sense, think, I'm normal? This is the way that all dogs are. And Lord, I just wonder, as Dave said tonight, how many people go through life running away and so crippled and so wounded and so hurting, and how silly, Lord, all of us can attest to the fact that we run away from people who love us. We have this strange, self-destructive mode in us to shun the very one that wants to take us in. And I thank you tonight that you've communicated this powerfully through this precious, precious animal. And Lord, we love you tonight. And as we close in this song together, Lord, I just pray now that we would just view our own lives differently. A life that is loved by you, a life that, as Dave taught us tonight, is full of purpose if we will just let you come near to us. And we thank you that that happens in Jesus' name. Amen.